there's power in this tablet. And it means I don't have to carry paper. It's on the tablet. And that's where I'm getting the sermon from today. And of course, I could go online and borrow all the sermons I want or steal them. And hope that my congregation never catches me doing that. That would be, you know, good power to bad power kind of thing. But no, actually, I enjoy very much preparing them. And, of course, I use online. But I want to share with you today, receiving the power. Receiving the power. As Acts said in 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. It is today Ascension Sunday. I don't know if you've noticed that. It says that in the bulletin, Ascension Sunday. It's the last Sunday of Easter. And of course, Jesus, we celebrate, ascends. On this day, we commemorate the day and moment that Jesus ascended to heaven. And we've already shared with you Acts. As they were watching, he was lifted up. And a cloud took him out of their sight while he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven. I like that word, gazing. And suddenly, two men in white robes stood and said to them, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven?" Wow, I love looking up to heaven. This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come into the same way as you saw him go to heaven. A recent cartoon says, over the next few weeks, Jesus appeared to his disciples, kind of quoting the scripture, and many other witnesses. Then he ascended into heaven, and then it has, you know, it's got the Jesus ascending, and then it's got those people down below, disciples. Where? I can't see him. And I love the little arrow at the bottom. Ascension deficit syndrome. Now, you got the difference. Not attention deficit syndrome. Ascension Deficit Center. I found this online. It's an ascension deficit disorder. Often it seems our faith is similar to those disciples who for that moment spent their faith gazing up to heaven without seeing the ascending one. If this cartoon is correct, what does it mean? Is Acts 8:1 clear? You will receive the power from the Holy Spirit is upon you. Our attention is focused upon trying to see him with shouts of where he is he, or truly turning to what Acts declares. We're gazing up to heaven. So often our faith desires that the moment of gazing toward heaven, when we sing that hymn that takes us back to a spiritual moment of yesteryear. Oh, when we sing that, we just feel like we're seeing heaven. The stars are coming upon us, and Jesus is ascending, and we know he's going to come descending again. How great thou art! Oh, how great thou art! During the prelude, you heard a version of it. How great thou art. We were learning that new hymn in the late 1950s at the Broad Street Christian Church. And the Sunday that we were learning that new hymn, our new youth leaders were there. They were volunteers that came into our church. And all of a sudden, they're there working with us, the youth group. And we learned in the youth group that they were gymnasts. Couple, husband and wife, and that we saw the picture of him on top of one of the largest buildings in the United States, standing on his hands on the edge of the building. Oh, what a youth leader, we thought. And we young ones just were ready to be with him. But now we're singing, "How Great Thou Art, How Great Thou Art," learning a new hymn. And all of a sudden, we discover he had another gift. He just sang, "How Great Thou Art, How Great Thou." His singing went above the entire congregation and the choir. And we're talking here a large congregation. And as that happened, the chills came down upon all of us. And it was as though we could see the ascension, that the Holy Spirit had come upon us and there was a power within us. Oh, and we all sang, "O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made." You know the song. "I see the stars. I hear the roaring thunder. Thy power throughout the universe display." I love such gazing spirituality, especially that releases the Holy Spirit so you and I can receive its power. And if it's "How Great Thou Art," wonderful. Another "How Great Thou Art" story. My grandmother Edna Eshelman had died. Many times I have used sermons, illustrations from memories of her. And I was the one that was dedicated to offering the service. But I knew that I could get too emotional of this woman I love so dearly. So I called up my retired pastor, Dr. Floyd Faust. Of course, he accepted the invitation to be part of the service and be there in case I got too emotional and I couldn't do the service. And just as I was in the service and I was starting to get, being afraid I was getting too emotional, and a cousin I hadn't seen for years, generation older than me, all of a sudden he puts his hand up and stands up and he says, "Dennis, I want to sing in honor of Edna." I said, "Sure." He stood up and sang a cappella, "How Great Thou Art, How Great Thou Art." And the Holy Spirit came upon me. The fears of being too emotional and having too many tears to do the service rested, and I was able to lead the service. And I remember when Dr. Faust did stand up, and he said, "I remember some years ago when we were sharing stories, and Dennis told me about his grandmother, who I knew in church every Sunday." He said, "When we were, she had terrible arthritis. She could hardly go up the steps. When she went down the steps in her two-story house, she always went down backwards, down the steps." So Dennis said that here she was, we're all in a family taking a train to California. And we're in Columbus, Indiana, transferring from one train to another. And we learned as we're there in the restaurant, and I'd shared to Dr. Faust, he's telling the story, he said that they discovered that their train was ready to leave, and they were going to miss it if they didn't really hurry. Had just a couple minutes. And we all got out there carrying all our stuff, and Grandma ran to the train and led all of us. The Spirit came. The power came upon her. And this is what John says is eternal life. Not just that afterlife, but eternal life. This is eternal life, that you may know that only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And when we know him, we know that there will be power come upon us. There are so many aspects of life in which we need to receive the power of God. Such power must become part of the everyday lives. Such power must overcome the abusive power that we too often turn to and at times mistakenly thank God for. For God's power is a healer of the soul. God's power is one healing aspect of our bodies. God's power is needed to keep us on the straight and narrow path of righteousness for our better lives and for this to better this world. Where, when, and how do we miss this awesome power? One key way is to misinterpret, to miscalculate, to misunderstand, to misuse, or to deny the Holy Spirit. Yes, there are moments when we sing a hymn such as How Great Thou Art that evokes the Holy Spirit of God upon us and within us. So we thank God for that gift. Often we're taught that we must do certain actions to receive the Holy Spirit. We think that we need to be in a certain church. Or we need to act Pentecostal or charismatic or speak in tongues. Or we need to shout. We need to fall on the ground with quick jerks. Yes, there is validity to some of that spiritual behavior. Often, though, it is misleading, a misleading way to think that one is being touched by the Holy Spirit. The way of the Holy Spirit, and then the privilege of receiving God's power, is first to let go of our misguided self-control, to let go of our fear, to let go of our angers, of the things in life that keep us from receiving God's power. Yes, on the one hand, I need to be in charge and responsible for my feelings and my actions. On the other, I need to stop and open the door to this Holy Spirit. I need to let go of the fear of what could happen if such were to occur. If ever I was a teacher letting go of the Holy Spirit and to receive God's power, if ever anyone was a teacher to do that, it was Maya Angelou. Here's some of her words. It is this belief in a power larger than myself and other than myself which allows me to venture into the unknown and even the unknowable. Imagine her words. Out of the huts of history, shame, I rise up from a past that's rooted in pain. I rise up, I'm a black ocean, leaping and wide, welling and swelling. I bear and tide, leaving behind nights of terror and fear. I rise into a daybreak that's wondrously clear. No wonder she could write words about the cage bird singing. The cage bird sings with wonderful with fearful trill of things unknown, but long for still, and as tune is heard on this distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. What needs to be said to help each one of us let go? What needs to be said? Oh, online there's, what is your power word? You can go online and find anything. But for those of you who have your phones with you or your tablets, you can go ahead and Google it. What is your power word? And they have you a survey so you can determine what is your power word. Now, the questions aren't anything that make it scientific. I mean, one was, they had other questions you could find out. How are you a flirt or something? I don't know. But I loved it when it says, your power word is to me, when I answered all the questions, silly questions, about do I eat vegetables or do I eat meat or do I want to go to England or Japan or whatever. But here's what it said when it said, my word is in power. I love that word. You are a motivating and inspirational person. You light a spark in others that helps them achieve more. You lead by being honest about your success and failures. You're at the point where you are comfortable being a leader. You would rather teach someone to be self-sufficient than simply do something for them. You help others help themselves. You get people to realize their own potential, potential they didn't even know was there. Your leadership is changing life. I went back and redid the quiz and then answered the questions differently and said I was an enabler. So, yeah. Anyway, you could do that. Power. Power. Sinful, evil, commercial, political, wealth, corporate, abusive, government, violent, broadband internet, sexual. Power exists in so many abuses upon this earth. So how does God deal with this power? And we could go on with that list. Not by being more powerful in a sense of having Jesus go and organize great revolutionary, but by sacrifice. Sacrifice. So how do we relate sacrifice to ourselves? In this world, gun violence is one example, continues. And as this latest comes from California, online there's a report. There were 31 school shootings since Columbine High School in 99. Until Sandy Hook Elementary in 2012. There were 27 school shootings since Sandy Hook until Arapaho High School in the year 13. So there were 31 shootings in 13 years, 27 school shootings in 1 year, 58 school shootings in 14 years. The rest of the world combined had 14 shootings, school shootings at that time. So what happened to America? How do we resolve that problem? What should a Christian do? Sacrifice is the word. Are we willing to give up our handguns, have them melted into some art piece or some useful piece of safety? We were willing to work for that kind of constitutional change. Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven from the earth. He has given us the gift of eternal life, meaning that we live for him now as well as in our afterlife. We are to demonstrate God's power. Yes, we may periodically need that spiritual experience. How great thou art! As we do, are to let go of something that tears down more walls and opens more doors to the love, the hope, the joy, the peace, and justice of our God. The last photo, I just want to thank God in advance for the blessings I'm about to receive. Amen.